No locker room talk here. It's Taking the Lead with Ray Gustafson on News Talk 94.9 WSJM.
8:13 on Taking the Lead. It is Tuesday, April the 23rd, 2019, and it's time for Living Gracefully with Mr. Todd Dougherty from Woodland Terrace. Good morning, Mr. Todd Dougherty. You notice I call you Mr. all the time, so glad to have you in this morning. How you doing? Did you have a good Easter?
I did have a good Easter, yes. The weather was beautiful.
Wasn't it?
A house full of people. It was a very fun day.
I heard you had like 40 or 50 people over at your place.
We did.
It was good.
We do a huge Easter egg hunt in our backyard. It's very funny to see adults. There were two kids, I think. Everyone else was adults. So it's very funny to see adults running around the yard. We get those. You can get eggs that are actual real eggs that have been hollowed out and filled with confetti. So that's always part of our Easter egg hunt. So we... Part of the fun of it is then you're cracking these eggs over people's heads. So we're still vacuuming up confetti all over the house.
Bad. Holy cow. So, but, well, we got sidetracked a little bit as we almost always do every Tuesday. But again, Todd Dougherty from Woodland Terrace. Technology in telemedicine. Technology is a big thing nowadays, and just using technology. And how is it being used in your capacity, Todd?
You know, I posted an article to our resource section, and so telemedicine is something that has popped up in the last 3-4 weeks in all the different senior housing and long-term care newsletters that I get every day. It's a huge topic of conversation because
what's telemedicine? I'm not familiar with it.
So it's a broad spectrum to describe a lot of different services. So it's basically being able to call into someone to describe symptoms, to talk through what someone is experiencing, and then to get medical direction as to what someone should do. There's also aspects of it, more of a long-term solution with it, is people tied into technology, so they're monitoring their blood sugar and it's going into their computer, they're doing their blood pressure, it's going into their computer, and then doctors somewhere else are constantly evaluating the information they're getting to then call and proactively direct you if they're seeing a change or a spike or something that's indicating that they need to look at something closer.
Okay. So it's something you said that you've noticed just in the past couple of weeks that's becoming really popular, huh?
So it's been a huge topic of conversation in all these newsletters because there's actually legislation that's going around right now that would actually allow Medicare to cover more costs related specifically to telemedicine. So it's something that they're looking at. So there's this term that's used that when I first heard it probably 10 years ago, 12 years ago, it kind of took me aback. Mm-hmm. And so I still cringe every time I use it, but it's a term that's used. So they are referring to what's called the silver tsunami. And it's this influx of people that are going to be coming into the long-term care setting, whether it be skilled nursing, assisted living, independent living, and more people that are going to be choosing to live in their home and how we're going to address their needs while allowing them to kind of age in place or be where they choose to be. And technology, I think, is going to have to be a big piece of how that works. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's going to be really interesting over the next 5 years to really see what's developed, what's put into place. I don't think we even begin to understand what's going to exist in 5 years.
Exactly.
They were one of the articles I was reading was saying that with the voice-activated devices that we have in our homes now, with both cell phones, with Alexa, with Google Home, that there are even some pharmacies that you're able to check a lot of them are mail order pharmacies, so you're able to check the status of your medications, you're able to see if something's been reordered, and you can do it all through your device. And now Alexa actually has put into place stuff with their software that makes Alexa now HIPAA compliant. Because there's a lot of health information that with these services is going to be sent via these devices.
Real quick, HIPAA, just in case people don't understand, remember what that is? So
Health Information Portability Act.
It's an acronym, but it really is. It's patient privacy, right?
It is. So it's your healthcare information, how you keep that protected.
Right. HIPAA, that's what it would be. Yeah.
Yes, yep. And so so it's going to be really interesting to see. I think it's something, so the way, there's an association, it's the medicine, it's what's it called? The American Telemedicine Association. It was actually formed in 1993, so it was formed a long time ago. And in a lot of the articles, they're referring it to being in like the fifth and sixth inning. They're not at the end of the game yet. But they're really kind of seeing a lot of their efforts over the last 25 years kind of start coming to fruition. So 2022, I think, is the year that they 2022 to 2024 that they are kind of predicting that we're going to reach this point where we're going to have an influx of people coming into long-term care, and we're not going to have enough places for them to be.
I was just going to ask you that with the baby boomers. I mean, entering into retirement. Well, some of them well into retirement. Now I'm on the very bottom end of the baby boom. What was it? Up through what, 59 or 60? Yep. I think was it. I was born in 61, so there I just gave you my age. I'm really old, so I'm on the bottom end, but. I mean, we've got this big influx of people moving into the retirement system right now,
and we do. And figuring out how to provide the best care and provide the spectrum of care that's needed, I think, is what we're going to have to be talking about and looking at. One of the things, for long-term care, one of the biggest challenges is psych and mental health. Mm-hmm. There's limited resources. There's limited availability of people actually coming into our campuses to provide those services. So often, it's people going out and. It's usually people with dementia, with Alzheimer's. Those are the people that are needing those services. And those are the people that you're really wanting to move as little as possible. The less disruption to their routine,
right,
the better for them. But it's really hard currently to get services to come into buildings.
Right.
And so often it is those people going out. And so those are two of the areas that we're seeing a lot of progress in with the telemedicine, with more and more options coming available. Obviously, there's more options available in more urban areas.
Right.
As I think we're going to see all those services kind of be put in place first as it trickles down into more rural areas.
And we need to figure out how to make this work, the telemedicine. I mean, there's some skepticism on my part as well, as you've probably read in your articles, Todd, about, not actually getting a physical exam by a healthcare professional where you're just, basically talking to them through Skype or whatever it is, and basically you're describing your symptoms and they're prescribing treatment for you without actually, checking your heart rate or your blood pressure or anything like that. And some people are a little uncomfortable with doing something like that, but it is something that we need to certainly look at and get perfected.
It is, and I think that we'll see telemedicine being more integrated with our primary care physicians.
Yeah.
I'm not sure exactly how that will look, but I think that you'll see them working in tandem with each other, not necessarily replacing the other. So right now we have the issue where we still have doctors that don't have on-call services. They don't have anyone that we can reach after 5 o'clock. There's no one available on the weekends. So typically if there's an acute situation happening with a resident, we're calling EMS to come and do an evaluation. We're sending them to the ER. And those are all very costly options. And again, depending on the resident, moving a resident to the hospital, going to the hospital isn't always the best option.
Exactly.
So having that person that you're able to talk through what it is you're experiencing, what the resident's experiencing, could truly help reduce those hospital visits too.
Yeah. Like we said, as long as we get it perfected where people aren't, self-diagnosing themselves and that sort of thing. I mean, the WebMD and stuff.
WebMD is dangerous.
It is dangerous because you could have a little tickle in your throat and you search tickle in my throat and it's like, cancer? What?
Yes.
What are you doing? No, it's not. It's just, they're giving you the worst case scenario. And I don't know if they're just trying to scare you into things, but some good information. You've posted an article you sent up on your website about telemedicine and technology.
I have. It's a great article. It's on there. I totally recommend people to read and kind of just watch to see what's coming out over the next couple of years. I think we'll really, really see this specifically evolve significantly beyond our imagination. I'm not an IT person, so I can't even begin to understand.
I play one
technology.
On the radio, but I'm just kidding. So
I think it'll be really interesting to see how it evolves over the next couple of years.
I do have a question for you with Woodland Terrace and your association. So we've got this large group of people, and you said that, as these people are moving into the retirement age and looking for a facility for them to care for them, do you think that that's going to be in 5 years possibly an issue that we have in our country, not just locally, but in our country, Todd, where there's not enough places or retirement homes, I'm talking about for people to go to with this large influx of people moving through the system right now?
There's an organization called NIC. It's the National Investment Center for Senior Housing and Care, and they are all about statistics, all they do. And they've been around for quite a long time, and they always are looking ahead to see, look at trends, look at numbers. And they're the ones that have consistently said that 2022, 2024 is when we're going to see the need for long-term care whether it be skilled nursing or assisted living,
right,
that the number of units are going to, the number of people needing that care is going to exceed the number of units available. There's a huge boom in building right now. It's across the country. You're seeing a lot of companies kind of be hit with an occupancy issue.
Mm-hmm.
And their big thing is hold out, because even at the rate that building is happening right now, we are still not going to be able to meet the need in 2022 to 2024.
Okay, so something to watch out for. And then afterward, maybe say then in 10 or 15 years from now, after the baby boomers have moved through, do you think that there could possibly be an issue where it's like, okay, we've got all these facilities, we've added all these places, and then now there's not as many people possibly? Could you think, I know you're all about statistics, something to look at, you know?
So I do think that technology is going to be one of the answers to the issue that we have in 2022, 2024. Yeah. And I think that is going to replace the need or somehow reduce the need for the number of units. And so I think that in the long term, that the industry will be fine.
Yeah.
But I think that technology will be what provides answers to a lot of people. Also, the issue is, right now, assisted living in Michigan is all private pay.
Mm-hmm.
And so even at 2022, 2024, those people coming into the system aren't going to necessarily have the funds to private pay. And that's where I think technology will play a huge role in allowing them to stay in their homes and providing other alternatives outside of long-term care facilities.
Absolutely. So again, more information on what we just talked about available, or if anybody has questions about anything, how do they get a hold of you?
Woodlandterrace.com. There you can, all of our phone numbers are listed there. You're welcome to call any of our campuses, stop in our campuses. We have the resource tab at the bottom that we keep a lot of these articles on. You can just pop in without calling too, anytime.
Yeah. Or if you get on, get on Todd's good side, he might invite you over for a Sunday brunch or something over at his place.
Yes.
There you go. That's Living Gracefully with Todd Dougherty from Woodland Terrace. Thanks, Doug.
Thank you very much, Ray.
I'm going to Doug for the news here in a minute. So. Thanks, Todd. All right, there we go.